Thank you, Lord. I just praise you, Father, for this wonderful day you've given us. I thank you, Lord, that you walk with us wherever we go, and we can talk with you and just be your friend, and you can be our friend. That's just an awesome feeling to know that you're that close to us, Lord, to know that your Holy Spirit resides inside of us and leads us and guides us. And we can talk to him too. Them too. We can talk to the Father. We can talk to you. We can just talk to y'all at any time and know that you're listening. It's a wonderful feeling to know, Lord. It's a wonderful feeling to be close enough to hear your voice at times and to understand that you've got us in your hands, Lord, and we don't have to worry about anything except keeping our eyes on you. Thank you, Lord, that tonight we're going to have a wonderful time because you're in charge. And that everybody, I ask that your anointing just flows throughout this whole outreach tonight. And I just ask and pray for your guidance tonight. And first of all, I command any spirit that wants to show himself, I command him to be bound up and thrown out of here right now in the name of Jesus. None has any authority in this room from this point on in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for us. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are round about doing that right now. And I praise you, Father, that tonight ain't nothing but love going to show through. Nothing but your love, Lord. Our love for each other and for you, because it's your love that has taken our hearts over, Lord. And when we have that love, there's nothing but peace and joy and rest. Thank you, Father, for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Where'd my paper go? Anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Pat, I wanted to ask you, did they get the podcast fixed?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, good. Good. Thank you. Today. All right. Good
deal. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Anybody got a prayer request or a testimony or a praise report? Go, Willie.
I don't have a praise report, but I have a prayer request for a lady named Helga Lebeck. She's been diagnosed with cancer. I forget, we had an intern at the rescue mission working there, and it's the intern's husband's mother. He's been diagnosed with cancer. They say the treatments are failing.
Treat another dose, give her another dose of radioactive treatment, which always fails. Doesn't make any sense to douse people with radiation. But I wanted to pray for her, you know. Because, you know, the Lord says, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be given unto to you. So I would just like to, you know, pray that this cancer goes into remission. I don't know how old the lady is, but I know that the cancer is killing her.
That'd be fine. We'll hook our faith up with yours, Lord. All right, Willie.
All right. My Father, I just thank you. I thank you that in Christ there is merciful loving kindness. Lord, we thank you that you have mercy upon the just and upon the unjust. Heavenly Father, I don't know her spiritual state. But Lord, you told us to ask whatsoever that we would, Heavenly Father. And if we ask anything in agreement, it shall be given unto us. Father God, we just take up Helga in our hearts right now, Father God. We just intercede, Lord, against this infirmity of cancer that has attached itself to her body, Lord God, that is trying to kill her. Lord God, we just pray that this cancer goes into remission right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, reach down your hand right now into Helga's body, Lord God, and just squeeze those cancers dry in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, and bring them all into remission. Heavenly Father, show her that it was you. Show her, Heavenly Father, that no one could have done it but you, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I just ask that you offer her, that you grant her grace unto repentance, Heavenly Father, if she does not belong to you. Lord, I just ask that in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Heavenly Father, for touching Helga, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that you're working in that woman right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Praise you.
Father, I just join with Willie tonight in regards to Helga, Lord, and I would just also take an opportunity, a time right now, to bind those spirits that are motivating, that are manipulating, motivating those cancerous disease, and we bind it, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We, Father, ask you to set her free, set her free. Heal her body, Lord. We thank you that you have given us the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. And we, Lord, we just exercise that power, that authority over that power of the devil. And we thank you for that. Lord, just send angels to heal up her heart, heal up her body, heal up her mind. Take those places that the devil would use to make a stand in her life, Lord, and remove them, remove that footing from her life, Lord, and turn her heart towards you. We just trust you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for you have paid your life for us, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your love for Helga in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for using this to put fear in her, to cry out to you, Father, to cry out to you, and to understand that the promises are available to her. We have wonderful promises in the Word of God. She doesn't have to be under this curse if she just give her whole life to you, Father. I thank you, Lord. We've seen it happen before. People that had terminal cancer get completely healed of it. And Father, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving this lady and healing her in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Oh. Yeah, Joe.
I have another prayer request for somebody who has cancer as well. So, well, I guess I was kind of hesitant to want to bring it up, but Dave, the one we've been praying for from time to time, well, I got a confirmation from a coworker. Another one that, he has, it's esophagus cancer. I'm not sure I've never really heard of that kind. Cancer kind of, can affect anywhere, but it's spread to his liver. I guess it's I heard from another coworker say that, you know, that's, he wasn't sure if that's what it, I mean, cancer is what it was. So, but yeah, it is. And I guess he starts chemo next Monday. I want to say it's soon. So, you know, I just want to lift him up in prayer. And, well, you know, I really don't know his spiritual condition as well. Just like, you know, Willie, you were talking about Helga. You know, you're not sure. But Dave, I've had brief conversations with him about, you know, spiritual things. He goes to church. You know, I think it's a local church here. And, I think it was a Church of Christ is what he said. You know, and so it's just, I'm not sure exactly where he stands, you know. And, but I mean, so far, you know, I mean, the times we prayed for him, the Lord's done a work in him. You know, I've seen a big change in him, but I want to agree with me. You know, the Lord will do his work, you know, what he wants to do through this. You know, I think he wants to humble him, you know, and get his attention. You know, I believe most of all, it sounds like that's, you know, I mean, it kind of came to mind. I thought, you know, maybe that's what God wants to do. But just agree with me, you know, and, you know, that whatever God wants to do here, you know, and then for his healing, most of all, you know, but that God would do the work he wants to do, you know, because it's not, you know, I mean, it would be good to heal him, of course, but I think, you know, it's most importantly, he has something he wants to do, you know, I do believe. So, Father God, I just thank you for, this time we can come together and we can lift up our prayer request to you, Lord. We can lift up people, you know, to you, and we believe, Lord. We thank you that, you know, you answer our prayers. Lord, I pray for Dave. You know, I thank you for Dave, and you've used him in my life here lately to, you know, to work on me, you know, to deal with that old man, to you know, destroy the flesh. And I thank you that you've used him in that way. But Lord, you know, you've done a work in him so far. And Lord, you know, most of all, Father, I just ask that with this cancer, this, you know, esophagus that's spread through his liver, you know, Lord, you know the whole situation. You know, he's starting to look a little weak, starting to, you know, I'm seeing those changes physically. But Father, I just ask that through this time, that, you know, you would humble him, Lord, you know, however you see fit, you know, however deeply you want to humble him, or I mean, even cause him to be broken, Lord, because, you know, I mean, there's something you want to do here, Lord. I give Dave over to you. I'm not sure if he truly is one of yours, you know, if he's one of your elect, I don't know, but, Lord, I just, you know, I believe that he is. And I pray, Father, that, you know, you would do a work in him. You'd begin to reveal to him his need for you. You know, you'd reveal your love for him, Lord. You know, I don't know if he questions, you know, if you love him or not, you know, knowing that he's got cancer now, you know, knowing this. And, but through this process, Lord, you know, through this whole time, you know, I pray that you would, you'd make yourself known to him, God. You'd show him just how great you are. And Lord, would you lay it on my heart? I thought about it today, you know, and it's, would you prepare his heart, Lord? And, you know, would you give me an opportunity to share with him the Real Good News series? Lord, that's a perfect series for just, you know, understanding that, you know, if he is a believer, I'm not sure about that, but if he's a believer, that he can know for sure that, yes, that, you've given him, you know, healing of this cancer. He doesn't have to live with it. You know, he doesn't have to fear death, but he can believe, and he can receive that healing, you know, if he is a believer. So we ask, Lord, I mean, either way, or you would use me and use others in his life that would share the gospel with him. You know, Father, grant him repentance, convict him of his sin, help him to see, you know, his sins and the result of his sins, you know, if he's not one of yours. And, you know, yeah, grant him the faith to believe, you know, the gospel, believe what you did for him, Jesus. And I thank you for the work you're going to do. I thank you for that you're going to be with him in this time. You know, show yourself strong, Lord. Show yourself just, you know, mighty to save him, you know, to heal him, you know, most of all. You know, show him who you are, you know, through this process. And I thank you, you know, Lord, that you will heal him. Thank you that by your stripes, Jesus, he already was healed, you know, this cancer. You know, we command all spirits of cancer, any, you know, rebellion linked with the cancer, any other spirits that would just try to, you know, cause the cancer to spread, we just command you to, you know, to cease, you know, and we just, you know, just destroy those spirits, Lord. You know, we command you to stop what you're doing in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for his healing ahead of time. Thank you for the work you're going to do. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You say he was Church of Christ?
I believe so. I think I remember he told me that he was going at the time to a, you know, Church of Christ church. I believe he grew up in a Pentecostal church, actually.
That's not Church of Christ.
No, yeah, yeah. Total difference. I mean, but
Church of Christ is under the law, man.
Yeah.
And, I had, but I wanted to tell you, my across the street neighbor back in Arkansas is Church of Christ, and they knew my ministry, and they knew of it. Matter of fact, his wife had been in a Bible study of mine for a little while on healing and faith and that kind of thing, and but they came against it. And but anyway, one day I got a call from Jeanette, and she said, Denise and Greg want you to come over there and pray for Greg. His heart is really giving him a hard time. He had some kind of heart disease, and I'd known it for quite a while. In fact, he had to retire early because of good people, real good people.
Yeah.
But anyway, I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, they want you to come over there and pray for Greg. I said, you talking about Greg and Denise Smart? Yeah. I was having trouble comprehending, you know.
Yeah.
And so I went over there. I said, what's going on? And Denise said, would you pray for Greg? Said his heart, he's having trouble with it. And he's been having trouble with it all day, and I'm scared for him. I said, well, that's a good place to be, you know. And so I prayed for him.
Amen.
And I don't know what happened. I didn't know what happened. And then a couple of days later, Greg came over. I was working in my shop over there, and Greg came over there, and he said, I just want to thank you for praying for me. He said it went away right away.
Wow.
I hadn't had trouble with it since. I said, well, you know, I didn't do anything. It was God and and the faith that God has put in me. And I said, you can have the same thing, you know, just rebuke it if it tries to come back. And these were Church of Christ people, been at all their life, you know.
Yep. Well, yep.
God can get them in a fearful place and work on them. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Hey, Denny. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Joe, did you get a chance to pray with Dave?
No, I haven't actually.
Okay.
You know, I haven't really been communicating with him so much lately. You know, I think it's many of my coworkers, you know.
Yeah, look for that opportunity and just have some boldness and faith, you know, and let him know that others are praying for him and that we believe. Yep. Let him know you believe he's healed, you know, and just let him know that. That will give him the hope, you know, and the faith. So, okay. Lord bless.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. iPad Judy's got something she wants to impart to us. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Well, I talked to one of the people in our fellowship today, and Linda Smith needs prayer for her hip. I don't know if she fell or exactly what she did, but it's really bothering her, and she can, you know. So Lord, I lift up Linda Smith to you, and I ask that you heal her hip in the name of Jesus, that it's already healed, and that I ask you to take any pain away.
Amen.
Make it so that she can walk without any problem, and in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for healing her. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name.
When did she contact you today?
Charlie did, and he just
said
for Linda, because she's really hurting.
Okay, well, let's can I pray before too?
Yeah, I wish you would. Thank
you. Okay. Lord, we lift up Linda to you. I see you're trying to get her attention, and you're doing a good job of it. And I thank you for it, Father. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command that hip to be healed in the name of Jesus, and I command the pain to go right now in the name of Jesus. And I command the walking to be normal, and it's be better than it was before. Amen. And Father, I praise you that you have healed Linda. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to let her know it's you that healed her. And I praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, she's got a spiritual background with you. I'm asking you to talk to her and tell her she needs to keep coming to the fellowships all the time, not just here and there, but all the time. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that Linda is healed, praise God. And we're going to hear the good report come Saturday in Jesus' name, if not tomorrow in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, let that hip be perfect tomorrow when she gets up, and she'll say, oh, I want to go to the Bible study. Yeah. Charlie, let's go.
There you go. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, this would be a good one too, wouldn't it? We're in the real good news, folks.
Yep. Yes. That'd be good.
Yeah. We're doing the real good news. I tell you what, I bet I've read that thing a half a dozen times. Every time I go through it, that thing just excites me. I don't know about y'all, but I just get excited. Glory to God. It's awesome because I know what God can do. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, we had been praying for victory with Jonah. That's her son, 6-year-old son. And she had taken him to the dad's house, for who hasn't seen him for a while now. He doesn't support him. He doesn't have a job. His car's broke down. He's living with somebody. He's kind of just not taking on that responsibility. But anyway, he was Victory took him to see Evan. His name is Evan, and supposed to be with him a day or two. Well, then when she went to pick him up, he said he wasn't going to give him back, so he wanted him to stay with him. And but anyway, so we were praying, and she didn't know what to do. She had called the police when she was there, and they said they couldn't do anything about it. So anyway, the next day, Victory called this the Lutheran agency that she had been working with. It's kind of like a support for families, needy families that she's had contact with for a few times, and they know her and they know Jonah. Well, she dropped everything that day, and she went with a police officer out to see Evan and just let him know that he has to be in school because he's supposed to be in school. He kept him out of school, told him if he didn't put him back in school, he would really be in trouble. So he took him to school today, which is a couple towns away. So, but then Victory went and picked Jonah up after school. And so, she's got him back. But anyway, but I want to pray for Evan, especially. He's just, he just really needs the Lord. He's, he knows to call upon the Lord. He's tried it he says a couple times, but it doesn't work for him, and that kind of a thing. But now he's really addicted to the video games. He just constantly on them all day long, and so we pray for Evan, Father, right now. I just pray that you would deliver him from these spirits, Father. We bind every spirit of this addiction, of this video gaming addiction that's got a hold of him. And Father, I pray you would just help him, God, to straighten out his life, Father, to get a job, be responsible, and get his car going, get a place to live. So just help Evan and deliver him, Lord. We pray for his deliverance. And just help Victory to know what to do next with this as far as protecting her rights to Jonah. If something like this would happen again, just show her what to do. Just help her out, Father. And we just thank you. And provide for her along the way. We just thank you. So we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
back there. You,
every time you mention Victory's name, I think of that song, Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory in Jesus is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory is mine today. Something like that. Amen. I bet y'all wished I could sing. I can, bless God. It sounds good to me. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or testimony? I got a little testimony here I can share with you. We got in touch. David got in touch with the Martyrs and told them about the situation that we've had over in the Middle East. And ask them if they couldn't furnish them with Bibles. Can y'all hear me okay? And they agreed to do that and furnish them whatever, how many Bibles they needed. I'm not going to give out the name of the country because I don't want any repercussions or anything, but they're going to provide, as long as they have a point man to go to or a person to go to. And of course, they provided all of that, and they're going to provide them with Bibles over there in their own language. And these are new Christians that are coming out of Muslim and also out of Catholicism. And to be honest with you, the Catholics over in these Middle East countries are just as bad as the Muslims. They kill when you go against their doctrine. They kill you. They will murder you. And that's what has happened. But anyway, God is good. They're going to be furnished with Bibles, and it's just awesome what God's doing over there. It really is. Okay. Anybody else? What's happening in these Middle East countries like this one we're talking about is they have wars going on there, and people are starving to death in these Middle East countries. And they know that they can't get anything from Muhammad because they're starving to death, you know. So they're looking for any kind of light whatsoever. And these people are giving them light. There's signs and wonders, hopefully, that they're getting that message of faith right now. And I believe in just a little while, there's going to be a revival over there that's going to shake the country. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Countries, I should say. Amen. iPad Judy. Go ahead, Judy.
Well, okay. Yeah, I have a really good testimony. Really good. Well, Saturday, it was real nice and 70 here, and the weather was real nice and a little wind. And about 4 o'clock, the Lord sent a big wind right into our tree in our front yard, which kind of bit over one of the limbs right on my car. And here's a picture. I don't know if you can see that. I don't know if you'll be able to see that pic. Can you see that picture?
Yeah.
That's my car underneath that tree.
Yeah. You talking about the car underneath the tree?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, the really, really neat thing is the Lord put peace in me, and I didn't get frustrated. I didn't get, oh, no, what happened? Or I mean, I just was really at peace with it because it's the Lord's car. That's his car. So, okay, Lord, it's your car under there, not mine. No. but I just was so amazed at myself that I was so peaceful about it. Well, we got down there and we looked it over, and the back window was completely shattered. It was completely out. And I kind of started laughing because I really wanted a new back window because the tint on my back window was bubbling. And I thought, well, that you did the right window, Lord. I mean, you know, there's 6 windows all around there. So he got the right one. And, well, then I called the landlord, and she happened to be home, and she came. And I caught, and one of the, what really saved my car, I think, was the limb was also on the electrical wiring. And that gave up the pressure on the car. So So I called the electric company and they came out right away, you know, and this was a Saturday. And they got that all cleaned up. But they couldn't take the limb off of my car because of they would be liable for it. So then the landlord got somebody over there that same day and they took the limbs off the car and we got the back end covered, that window. The guys here put the tarp on that. And I mean, everything just went really smooth, you know. I just still feel calm and peace about it. But I know the Lord did that. I know he's trying to get my attention, and he did. I just got to make sure I know what he's telling me. But I just believe the Lord's, you know, say, hey, Judy, let's wake up. And so.
You were sleepy beforehand.
Yeah, I was sleeping beforehand. Yeah.
She really got woke up then.
Yeah, that woke me up.
And another branch fell.
Yeah. And then about half an hour later on this tree, the other branch on the right side fell down. And there was just a little bit left up there. But if it would have fallen again, it would have went back on the wires, maybe back on my car too. But so the electric company decided to just cut the whole tree down, which was a good thing. But in the meantime, I just been, you know, asking the Lord, okay, what, you know, what's going on? But I didn't want to ask him. I didn't want to do too much. I wanted to rest. Because I think he said that now just rest in this and be calm and you know, I'll work it out. And then the landlord said, well, my insurance won't pay for it because it'll pay if the tree fell on the house, but not on the car because you're supposed to have car insurance. Well, I said, well, I don't have car insurance. I mean, I just have it on the other person. And she said, well, why don't you? Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, let's see. I got to tell her the truth. So, okay, I believe the Lord's is protecting my car and he's taking care of it. It's his car. And she kind of was silent for a while.
And she's a believer too.
Yeah, and she's a believer. And she says, okay. And now I'm going to take the back window over to the glass place tomorrow and she's going to pay for the back window. So that's a start, you know. I have a real good dent in my roof. The guys are going to look at that and, you know, I'm just kind of letting it go, let it flow and see what happens. I'm not going to get anxious or, Lord, don't let me get anxious. There are some scratches, but I don't think there's really too bad deep scratches, you know. I mean, really, for having a tree fall on a car, I mean, it looks pretty good compared to that. So, you know, it's just working out okay, you know, and I'm just trusting the Lord and he's just showing me I got to trust him and rest and that's what I'm doing. So I want to thank the Lord that the car is not any worse and I thank him that he's taken care of everything and I want him to show me all that he wants me to see and I want to do what he wants me to do. And I thank you, Lord, for getting my attention. Thank you, Lord.
But I believe the Lord is telling you one thing.
What do you think?
Don't park under a tree anymore.
That's true.
But
I didn't have a choice.
I believe that's what he's saying.
Well, it also, you know,
I'm just kidding you, Judy.
Well, I may not park under a tree again.
There's two other trees that are by where we park. And the landlord is going to cut those down too, so we don't have to worry about them.
We're not going to have to worry.
She doesn't want them.
All right.
And when I go to Walmart or any other place, I won't park by a tree.
Okay. All right. Praise God. That's a good testimony. Uh-huh. All right. Anybody else?
It ain't a praise report. It's just a prayer request.
Okay.
I was over visiting just now some friends, and they have cows. And there's a cow. Actually, I saw it born a little earlier, but I guess they didn't see it. But I don't know anything about how cows are raised or anything. But I guess the mother, if the mother doesn't accept the calf within a few hours, then the mother will just reject the calf, and then the calf won't have any way to eat or anything. So anyway, I just wanted to pray that the calf, the mother accepts the calf, her calf.
Amen. Go ahead, brother.
All right. Lord, I just thank you for my friends that are trusting you, and I just pray that you will, we just command that mother to accept the baby, the calf, and stop pushing it over and knocking it down and all that kind of thing. So I thank you so much that the baby will make it just fine. The calf will make it just fine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that that cow is going to accept that calf just like it was her own. In Jesus' name. And that calf is going to get all he needs to eat right there. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Hey, Michael, did you ever raise cows or have cows?
Yep, sure did.
So you know how all this works.
Yeah, well, generally, if they won't accept them, you have to feed them yourself. Did you hear me?
Yeah, is that a lot of work?
Well, it's less like feeding a baby, only it's a calf. You put it in a milk bottle with a nipple on it and give it to the calf, and the calf sucks on it. And you do that for a while, and then finally it starts feeding.
Wow.
Yeah, it takes a little time.
So do you get the milk from the mother?
Oh, they have milk that you can buy.
Oh, really? Okay.
They got a bag of milk replacer. You just mix it with water, stir it up, and put it in a bottle.
Yeah.
Well, we're believing for what we just prayed for instead of...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We command that cow to accept that calf in Jesus' name. Now you go ahead and do what we say. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are there telling mama to get on with it now. In Jesus' name. Now, is this the mama cow, or is this another cow that...
This is the mother. The mother just had it. The owners didn't see the baby delivered, and they've been out there, but somehow the coloring of the fur is about the same color as the ground. It's just... You have to really be perceptive to see it out there.
Are you sure this calf is hers?
Yep. Yeah, okay. They are.
All right. Yeah. Well, amen. She's going to do it then. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, George.
I just don't believe in coincidences and the verses when he was talking about that mother and that calf being rejected. It reminded me of what the word says about the end times, how the love of some will grow cold and they'll lose their natural affection, and just the rebellion against the parents and things like that in the household and all that type of stuff. And I just feel like it's a nudge for us to pray that, especially amongst this body, that God is returning by the Holy Spirit. God, you are returning the natural affection for families, love for mothers and fathers and children to be pure and to come from you and to be instant. And the past is in the past. And that salvation is now, that now faith is. And Father, I thank you for a glorious future for our families, walking in the Spirit, that our steps are ordered by you, and we won't look back, Father, that we thank you for the gift of unity and peace and restoration. Father, we thank you for that natural love in the families that you put in us, and for our spiritual families, Father, the bond of the blood of Jesus that is stronger than any natural bond, that you would enhance and strengthen the love in the body
that we would have for one another also, Father, that it would just be a supernatural just love for those who are continuing in the walk, continuing with you, honoring you, that we submit to one another and honor the Jesus in each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Amen. I believe that. Thank you, Father, for establishing that in all of us. All right. Anyone else? Well, I have something I'd like to share with you if you want to listen. It's a testimony of an Indian guy that is a musician. And I think you'll enjoy it. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and do that. Let me, if I can get it up here. Hang on. Well, okay, hang on just a minute. Y'all are hanging on, aren't you?
A good friend of ours from India. He's from Bangalore, but he's not there very much. He is the world's most traveled musician, and that's not an opinion. He's actually received a world record. He's been to every single country in the world. He plays for the poorest of the poor, the richest of the rich. He's open for everything from the World Cup to the Olympics. He gets through here about once a year on this very important and special day. His name is Beni Prasad. He will be... This just added, he agreed to do this, 6:30 tonight. If you come to the meeting early at Thomas Road, he's going to do a mini concert right before the meeting. Welcome all the way from India, one of the world's best known musicians, Beni Prasad.
Thank you, Johnny. Good morning, everybody. Come on, you can do that better. Good morning, everybody. Amen. Yes, that was a quick lesson on good morning. Well, I want to thank Jesus for giving me this gift of life. And every time I come here, I'm just so thrilled to see so many young people on your way to missions. If you have not decided, today is your deadline for that, actually. And you know, it's so wonderful to live. I just celebrated my 38th birthday. And at the age of 16, the doctors had given me 6 months to live. I was born with asthma, and from the age of 2 till the age of 16, I was on wrong medication, on high dosage of cortisone steroids. And as a result of that, 60% of my lungs got damaged and my immune system broke down, and I developed rheumatoid arthritis. At the age of 12, by accident, I was hit by a javelin, and my spinal cord was damaged. And everything went wrong in my life. Well, that's what the human said. And my father, being an aerospace scientist, he expected me to become like him. And I became the scum of the family. I was thrown out of school in my 10th grade, saying that you are not worth studying, you are useless, you are good for nothing. These were the words that were spoken over my life for 16 years, where medically they told me you will not live any longer. In education, as well as society and family, they looked at me and they said, Beni, you are a shame and a curse to the family. And having no hope, no talent, no life, nothing left in me, I contemplated to commit suicide at the age of 16. Even if you're really sitting down and wondering, Beni, can God use me in missions? I want to tell you that there are so many Benis like me out there who needs the gospel. And you are one among them who can really go and share that gospel. And at the lowest point of my life, when I wanted to kill myself, I heard the voice of Jesus Christ saying, Benny, even though you are called useless, I still need you. I said, Jesus, why do you need me when the whole world says I'm useless? He said he could transform my life and make me a new person. And I said, okay, I have nothing to offer. All that I have is my broken life and 6 months to live. He says, that's enough for me to start a new work in you. And that's what he has done. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I've already surpassed the expiry date that the doctors had put on my life, actually. And I'm just so thrilled to live this. And in 2004, I asked Jesus, what is your call for my life? The Bible says, God's ways are higher than man's ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I want to tell you, a Christian life is the most exciting life to live. And a life that is surrendered in Christ is just so adventurous. My life is more than James Bond movie. Because it's a reality. James Bond is only a movie. Mine is a reality. And in 2002, with $25 a month, being a YWAM missionary, I asked Jesus, what do you want to do with my life? Because my dream was to go to one country. He said, Benny, I want you to travel to every country by 2010. I said, Jesus, this is impossible. Till today, there has never been one example in the history of mankind, whether it is Michael Jackson or Mariah Carey or whoever it is. They have never been to every country in the world. How can I, being a broken person, being able to achieve this? He says, Benny, what is impossible for you is possible for me. And what it takes, my dear friends, today is to surrender your brokenness and your life into the hands of Jesus. And he will shape it after his will. And so I said, Jesus, as long as you are my provider, I will be your traveler. We had a good deal. I said, I will live a life of faith and you provide for me. So today, this is my one passport. And this passport is my travel record to every country in the world. And on 22nd of November 2010, I arrived in my last country, Pakistan, and I broke 6 world records. And one among them was I became the fastest man in the history to travel to every country in the shortest time, 245 nations, including Antarctica, in 6 years, 6 months, and 22 days. If Jesus can use my life to make history for his glory, I'm sorry, I don't have time to wait for your clapping. I'm not trying to be rude. But if Jesus could do that in my life, today he has a plan for your life. And he took me to amazing nations. One among them was North Korea. Last year I was invited by the government of North Korea to come and perform for the 100th birth anniversary of their founder Kim Il-sung. 834 performers were chosen from all over the world, and I was the only Indian chosen from my country.
Y'all listen to this. Listen to what he says. This is an awesome testimony of God's faith in this man. Listen.
And it was a great opportunity to play, but more so an opportunity to share the gospel. Yes, if you share the gospel, you don't need to be a prophet to understand that you will be killed. But I understood in the word of God that if anyone tries to save their life, will lose it. If anyone loses their life for the sake of Christ, will find it. So I informed my parents, there's a big possibility that I might be killed in North Korea. So if you don't hear from me on the 17th of April, that's a mutual understanding that either I'm killed or in prison, and I will see you in heaven. Because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I went to North Korea so excited to live and to die for Jesus. 2 spies followed me every single day of my life, every single minute, in fact. When you have 2 ungodly spies following you all the time, what do? You share the gospel. Because they're always with you. They will never leave you. They might forsake you, but they will never leave you. And since they're always with you, what a great opportunity to talk about Jesus. You don't need to go to North Korea to talk about Jesus. Jesus is putting a nation in your heart. Be obedient to him. Say yes to him. And I got into trouble. Sure, next day my interpreter went and informed to the official that Benny is doing this because I used her to translate my testimony to the spies. Now I'm in big trouble. It's sure I'll be killed. But the right perspective is what a great opportunity to stand in front of the official. And I shared my testimony, knowing that I might be killed. But the official asked me a question. How could you be so sure you heard the voice of Jesus at 16? It could have been your own imagination. I told him, sir, my own imagination told me to kill myself. It is the voice of Jesus that gave me life and life in abundance. And he heard my testimony. And I want to tell you, my friends, be courageous, even to the point of death, to share the love of Jesus Christ. Don't ever fear your life because Jesus is in charge. I was not killed in North Korea because it was not my time to die. He knows my time actually. And in the end, 12 musicians were chosen out of 834 performers. And I was one among the 12 to be awarded by the government of North Korea. And I played this Shout to the Lord, the song which I'm going to play. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. In a nation like that, on their national TV, if God could use a Christian, an Indian, to perform on this guitar, a guitar which God helped me to design in 2004 for the Olympic Games in Greece, if God could pick a broken, worthless child like me, written off by society, to design the world's first guitar with drums inside, there is nothing impossible for Jesus to do in your life. If he could pick up, give me a passport like this, 14 books, to go and share the good news to the nations, there is nothing impossible. I am just so excited. And I'm going to play this song, My Jesus, My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. And again, with arthritis, when I play this instrument, even the medical doctors say, this has to be God and God alone. And just to conclude with, when I broke the world record, I had a hat which said, thank you, Jesus. And CNN was the first news channel to interview me. And they said, sir, that is a religious statement. Please take off your hat because we are a secular channel. And I'll tell you, you want to share the gospel, share it creatively. Nobody can stop you. And so I asked Jesus for an idea because the whole world is going to interview me for achieving this feat. And I want to make sure that Jesus is known. I am not ashamed of the gospel. He gave me life when doctors gave me 6 months to live. He gave me protection. He gave me this beautiful future. How can I keep Jesus secret? No, it is sin for me to keep Jesus just to myself. So he gave me this beautiful idea of designing this new hat. And my hat says, thank you, Jesus. I'm an Indian. This is not a religious statement. It is a patriotic statement. And hence, nobody can stop me. You know, nobody can stop me from wearing these things. And if even news channels, they would come up to me and say, what is this on your head? I said, well, I'm proud to be an Indian. The cameraman says, do a close up on his hat also. At the United Nations, they told me you cannot share about Jesus. I said, fine. But I wore my hat, which talked about Jesus all the time. My friends, if you really want to talk about Jesus, nobody can stop you. So don't use excuses. Go forward. He died on the cross to rescue you from sin and give you eternal life. I cannot keep Jesus secret to myself. So my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you.
Thank you. Michael, what's the name of his name? What's the name of that, the title of that video?
Oh.
I'd like to watch it later on, because for some reason when someone plays a video, it cuts out a lot and gets distorted, and you can't really get the whole gist of it.
Okay, well, why don't I put the, what you call it, URL in the thing there, in the chat. Okay. It's called Benny Prasad, P-R-A-S-A-D, dash, Shout to the Lord, dash, Liberty University, dash, 2013. That's YouTube. I'll put it in the chat. I'll put the URL in the chat.
Did you say that was 2018 it said?
No, 2013. Oh. 13, yeah. Let's see. Microphone out of my way. Okay, there it is. All right. What'd y'all think about that? That boy had a testimony, didn't he? He wasn't going to let no North Korean country tell him he couldn't give out the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus, the real good news. And he was going to do it whether they killed him or not. He might know never mind him. He just going to do it, man. And praise God. That's where we need to be, too. Anybody know how many countries there are in the world? Yeah, Malcolm.
I was just going to say, his arrangement struck me as being having a lot of similarity to an Indian classical raga. Raga is the name of, is kind of the, just classical music. And there are all these ragas that, which are different kind of motifs or different kind of, I don't know how to describe them, like little pieces. Pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah. What'd you think about that, but guitar?
Yeah. That's he was almost playing it like a sitar. And, it had kind of that, kind of a pedal tone type chord going, you know, throughout most of it.
Yeah.
Which is very similar to a lot of classical music there.
Yeah. Well, he had two drums made in that thing too.
Oh, he was doing the drums?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
He was doing it all. He was doing it all. He had two drums made into the guitar.
I couldn't see it. I'll have to download that.
Yeah. Just type in Benny Prasad at Liberty University 2013. Shout to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote that down.
Yeah, and you'll see the guitar. It actually has two sets of strings on it that look like to me. Anybody else see that? Yeah. So
I've seen
some
musicians from India that have like a violins that have two sets of violin strings on it. Of course, it gives them a lot of flexibility.
This was a git fiddle. It was not known violin.
Over there, you pronounce that violin.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, that was an awesome testimony, I thought. Praise God. Well, Julie, you just missed it. I know. I just played a testimony from Benny Prasad, an Indian guy, a Christian Indian guy that has traveled every country in the world. Anyway, I've got in the chat there, it's the name of it on YouTube, but you can look at it later. It's really a good testimony that he gave, and a good song too. I enjoyed it. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to comment on or would like to talk about? Okay, Missy, go ahead.
Yesterday I was reading down past the verses that I sent in for the morning prayer meeting. It was Mark 6. Starting verse 45. And something just jumped right out at me. I mean, it just like instantly jumped out at me, and I'd never seen it before. And I was just like, whoa. Okay.
Wait a minute. Let me get there. What is it? Mark 6, what?
Starting in verse 45, down to 52. But there's two particular verses in here, you know, that the Lord just showed me something. It just jumped right out at me. And I want you all to tell me if you see it. It's actually in verses 47 and 48.
So you're going to go ahead and tell us.
No, I'm going to tell you the verses, but I want to see if you all see what I saw. Anyway, and straightway he constrained his disciples to enter into the boat and to go before him unto the other side to Bethsaida, while he himself sending the multitude away. And after he had taken leave of them, he departed into the mountain to pray. And when he was come, and when even was come, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And seeing them distressed in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea, and he would have passed by them. But they, when they saw him walking on the sea, supposed that it was a ghost, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. But he straightway spake with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the boat, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves, for they understood not concerning the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Okay, verses 47 and 48. And when he was come, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And seeing them distressed in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea, and he would have passed by them. The fourth watch, does anybody know when the fourth watch is, what time that is, approximately? I looked it up. It's 3 to 6 a.m.
Well, wait a minute. I was going to tell you when it was.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. You already let the cat out the bag. That's fine. Okay. Go ahead.
And it's approximately to 6 a.m. I learned something new because I looked something up on about the fourth watch and everything, and I came to this website. that told you how they tell time over in Israel. Well, we know that their day starts at sunset and ends at sunset, you know. But they have, so they have their hours according to that. So it's like it changes every day depending on when sunrise and sunset is or whatever. But there's this neat website that I found. It's pretty interesting. maybe I can put it in the chat then. I got to remember, find it and put it in the chat. But anyway, back to, they were in the midst of the sea. Okay, when this is what I saw. Straightway he constrained his disciples to enter into the boat and before him, and to go before him unto the other side of Bethsaida, while he himself sendeth the multitude away. And after he had taken leave of them, he departed into the mountain to pray. And when evening was come, so it was daytime when they left, and evening was come, okay? And then in verse 48, it says about the fourth watch. So basically, it's nighttime from 3 to 6, you know, approximately. Chances are it's darker, you know. But it says that seeing them distressed and rowing, he was on the land. They had been out in the sea for quite a while. How did he see them? The Lord, I believe he saw them in the spirit. He didn't physically see them.
Well,
makes sense. Because they were out in the midst of the sea for quite a while. And they had to have gone a good distance. So how could he have seen them physically?
Full moon.
What's that? What did you say, what? Leon?
Full moon.
Still, when they're that, how's he supposed? I mean, it's how would he have seen them and that they were distressed?
Go ahead, Tim. Tell her.
Well, it says that he was up on the mountain to pray, so that would have given him a better vantage point to see out into the open part of the water.
Yeah.
Also, the Sea of Galilee is only 5 miles wide, so they would only have been 2.5 miles away.
The wind was, we're doing all this natural stuff. The wind was coming against them. The wind was against them. They weren't rowing very fast. But he was, go ahead, Missy. You had something else?
No, go ahead.
Well, it says, and seeing them distressed in rowing, okay, they were having a hard time because the wind was coming against them. They ain't mm-hmm. going nowhere. For the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he comes unto them. He's taking a stroll out there on the sea. Okay, what's the other thing? I think I know what you're talking about on the other thing, but go ahead.
What do you mean the other thing? Basically, what I thought that, you know, was that, you know, how was he really gonna see them? It says he was on the land. He wasn't. It didn't sound to me like he was like on the mountain anymore, but he was on the land, maybe at the shore.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Could have been supernatural. Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew.
And he saw supernaturally that they were in distress.
So the fourth watch is 6 a.m.?
3 to 6 a.m.
3 to 6 a.m. Oh, okay. So it's just when the light at 6 a.m. is just going to start to come in. So, you know, the way I was seeing it was, if he's going there and it's just starting, you know, and he's walking on the sea. So, you know, he saw them, because if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus shall cleanse us from all our sins. Like, he walked in the light, so you can see them. That's just what I think anyway, to spiritually see him.
Okay, Willie.
No, he said he came down from the mount, right? He was on the hill?
It says that he was on the, they were in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. But it almost makes it sound like it doesn't say that he was on the mountain anymore. It just says that he was alone on the land.
Okay, he came down from the mount. He was alone on the land. He walked on the sea where the wind was contrary, where his disciples were rowing. They were greatly distressed. Does anybody else see the gospel in this? They suppose he was a ghost, you know. You know, they were in fear. You know, the wind, the supposing he was a ghost, the law, you know, they were in fear. He came down from the mount for mankind to the land. He came from heaven. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He walked upon the waters, you know. Here, where the winds were contrary. I could look at the wind as the law or the adversary.
And
where they were greatly, yeah, where they were greatly distressed, you know, he announced who he was, you know, the good news. They let him on the boat, and they were at their desired haven in no time. You know, promised land, you can see it as that. I just see the whole entire gospel in that. You know, that's what the whole thing was about. Once again, he demonstrated the gospel to them. I don't know if they caught it, you know, but that's exactly what I see.
Okay.
He came down out of heaven. You know.
Yeah, it says that he saw them, and then it says about he. Then it says he cometh unto them, walking on the sea. So he saw them. The way it's worded, it makes me think he saw them before he got to them on the water. In other words, he didn't even. Way I'm understanding it, he didn't even see. He saw them. While he was still on the land. And I think that was a spiritual thing, you know, like, you know.
Whether if he saw them physically or spiritually, he knew his own.
Right.
You know, and he came to them walking on the sea upon the peoples, nations, kingdoms, and tongues, where the wind is contrary, you know, where they are greatly distressed. He came as a savior, you know, walking on the sea where the wind was contrary and where they were in distress. You know, he came unto his own, and his own knew him not. They supposed he was a ghost, but as many as did receive him, receive him, unto him he gave power to be the children of God. By power, the wind ceased its blowing, and they were on the other side. Yeah, that's the whole gospel, like, right there, you know. It's about seeing the gospel in the whole entire thing. At least that's what I see. I mean, it's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
But I still am out.
Amen. Go ahead, Tim.
Wow.
Amen. I see it too, Willie, now that you pointed it out.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'm seeing in there is that wind, the same word for spirit, and that the disciples were having, their heart was hardened, and their spirit, they didn't understand the lows. And so it's like a lot of modern day disciples, they don't quite get it. quite in them, or they're not accepting it, and they're, so they're a troubled spirit instead of a troubled wind, or both.
Okay. Go ahead, Sue.
I'm looking at, you know, from what the brother was saying about the sea being the world, Jesus, he can walk above the world because he's not of the world, you know? That sea is the world, representing the world, and he's above it, you know, and that's why he can walk. He's not ruled by the world. He's above it. You get what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Sorry, I was muted there, Willie. I was trying to chime in. The fourth watch of the night, is that significant? Does that mean anything there? I'm kind of seeing what you're saying there by the gospel. The fourth watch of the night, what does that mean? Is that tied in there somewhere?
Creation.
Fourth watch of the night, 3 to 6 a.m.? How so?
Creation.
That's interesting. Creation, how so?
That's what I see it as, creation.
So, I mean, yeah, how, or I mean, I guess I'm trying to say, expound on that. What do you mean by that?
If it's the fourth watch of the night, if it's around 3 or 6 o'clock, 6 is the number of man.
Ah, okay.
And so he came onto his own. You know, he came in. There's so much tied up in there. It's ridiculous from him coming down out of heaven. You
I
know,
can say that, yeah.
When the people wanted to make him a king, you know, he did not present that to him. He did not come down as, oh, I'm Jesus, bow. You know, he came down in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Yeah.
You know, it shows that he would be despised and rejected. Even though he knew that, he came unto his own, you know. And then he was on the land, you know. Man was made from the dust of the ground. So he was made in the image and likeness of sinful man. And then he said, I'm going to save people from their sin. I'm going to walk right up there on the sea where the wind has always been contrary against
them.
You know, when it says the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters.
Yep.
This thing started having life. This spirit that was on the face of the water was totally different. It was the God of this world, you know.
Okay.
They were in great distress against him. And Jesus came walking out there like, I'm the Savior of the world. You know, you need to understand why water, people's, nations, kingdoms, and tongues. You know, why were they on that boat? What did that boat represent? Those who were reserved for Christ. Jesus said, you know, he knew his own, you know. And the Lord gave them to him. So they were in a boat, you know, kind of like the Noah's Ark thing, you know. And these ones were preserved for him, you know. They weren't in the sea. They were, in a sense, you know, in that boat, set aside, reserved, however you want to see it, separated. And so when he came unto them, they supposed that he was a ghost. They only saw the law, so they were in fear. But he introduced himself, which is the gospel. And, you know, he came into the boat, and they were on the land. You know, if you're standing there with Jesus, it represents promised land. That's what I get from it.
All right. I think Tim, you're next, and then Malcolm, then you, Judy.
Just one thing that came to my mind about the hours between 3 and 6 a.m., with what Willie was talking and what Joe was asking, is that would be right before the sun rising. You're going to put it into the gospel text, you know, context would be just prior to the sun rising.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Malcolm.
My hands are all wet, but maybe I guess I got all the buttons pushed. I can imagine the disciples were pretty miffed with Jesus. Here, there was this powerful movement underway to get Jesus to where the disciples wanted him to be all along, and they Jesus, in the middle of everything, just sends the disciples off by themselves, got them out of there. And if they didn't think they had trouble, he gave them a little bit of trouble to help them along there. But that was one of the temptations that Satan brought to Jesus to begin with, was, you know, kingship and the power and the glory and all that stuff. That was not what Jesus came for at that time. So that was one of those three big temptations that Satan presented again, and the disciples are getting right into it, supporting it, I would imagine, because I don't think they were happy campers when they were sent off in the boat.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
Hi. That's all been really good. That really blessed me. One of the things I saw in there was the sea also being in the scriptures an example of the curse, and the winds making, you know, the demonic realm making, you know, a lot of controversy against, you know, the disciples. There's just a lot of headway that they didn't, or not headway, but they were making headway painfully, is what my translation says. And that's also the same parable in a different gospel where Peter walked on the water. So I was looking at that as Jesus was walking in the spirit above the curse, and Peter had the faith to get up out of the boat and walk above the curse by faith, but then he got his eyes on the curse and, you know, started to sink. And anyhow, that's kind of what I was seeing there too, is just, you know, Jesus was, you know, teaching him how to walk by the Spirit, overcoming the curse. That's been good. You guys sharing that helped me a lot.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat. I'll come back to you, Marilyn.
It's kind of funny, I guess, like Missy, one thing jumped out at me and it kind of set a question in my mind, but I agree with Missy that obviously it is all supernatural. It is all Jesus on the mountain or on the land, seeing with eyes of faith and seeing out there and seeing the disciples in distress. But one thing that hit me is when it says, in seeing them distressed in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking on the sea, and he would have passed by them. And I'm thinking, it kind of hit me like, wait a minute, he would have passed by them? He saw them on land that they were in distress, and he took off and started walking across the water, but then it said he would have passed by them. And I'm thinking, Lord, why would you bother? I mean, what are you trying to say there? He would have passed by them. But they, when they saw him walking on the sea, supposed that it was a ghost and cried out. If they wouldn't have cried out, would he went ahead and walked on by them? Or it's just kind of a question. It doesn't seem to fit in there. I mean, it doesn't seem logical. I mean, if you see somebody struggling in the water, somebody's drowning out there, and you head out for them, why would you just continue on and walk on by them or whatever? It didn't seem to make sense. But anyway. It was just something that jumped out at me. I'm not sure. I'm sure I don't have the answer for it. So,
Okay. Anybody got an answer for that? That was on my mind too, Pat. I was going to ask what y'all thought about that. Go ahead, Judy, or Sue.
I was just thinking about that boat. You know, I had thought about that earlier when we were talking about it, that the boat can represent us because we're a vessel. And when Jesus came into the boat, he came into us. You know, they cried out for him. They cried out to him. And when they saw him to receive him, they were afraid and they received him. And he came into the boat. We're like that boat.
Yeah, he would.
We're a vessel to contain Christ. He came in to us. That's a gospel.
But he would have passed them by if they didn't cry out.
Yeah.
But since they cried out, he saw, you know, he came to them.
Yeah.
I think.
Boat represents us because we're a vessel.
That's the gospel Willie was talking about right there.
Right.
You reckon they were hollering, "Jesus, help us, there's ghosts out here."
Amen.
Is that you are a ghost, Jesus?
Okay, who was first? Joe or Andrew? Go ahead, Joe. I'll get you in a minute, Andrew.
Something just came to mind as you were saying, you know, he was passing by. I thought about that too. Who is the, I forget the verses, but it was, I think it was where one of the individuals Jesus healed. Was it the one who said, "Son of David, have mercy on me"? I believe it says, I think in the verse or verses before, as Jesus was passing by. Can somebody answer that? I mean, if that rings a bell, and I'm trying to think of the verses.
It's in it's Zacchaeus.
Was that what it was?
He crawled up the tree, yeah.
And Jesus passing by, I think is what it said before. Cause I want to say it was, well, I want to say it was that one, but it was another one. I think I remember hearing a sermon on it about, you know, calling out to Jesus.
The blind men, two blind men.
I think so. That kind of came to mind. I don't know. That kind of came to mind. I thought, oh, well, you know, the disciples were on the boat and, you know, we're talking about the gospel salvation. You know, Jesus was passing by and they called out to him. So, you know, that kind of came to mind. Wait a minute, there was another individual who wanted healing, you know, and as Jesus was passing by. So, I don't know. I found that interesting. That just kind of came to mind. Something about it. I don't know.
Okay, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, I was told that when a long time ago, someone told me if I'm ever in trouble, though, cry out to the Lord, and it's kind of like a prayer that when you want to, at the last moment, you know, or you may not be saved, you know, and someone might even just say, "Cry out to the Lord," you know, and you pick up that verse and you do it, you know, and you get salvation from it. But I also think that this is a wonderful demonstration of rest from the Lord himself, you know, and everything here, he's all in rest, Jesus Christ. Like everything he does, from sending the crowd away to seeing them out there, walking out on the sea, you know, and it brings back that verse to memory where it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest for your souls." This is a demonstration on how we should behave in our rest with Christ. He went out on the water. He saved them. The storm was gone. He really trusted in his Father there for all of this stuff. And they arrived at their destination too, at the end. And I just think it's just how a person should really be yoked to Jesus for that rest. Anyway.
Okay, Marilyn.
Yeah. Okay. My take is my path on this is just a tiny bit different. I hope it fits in here. A couple of weeks ago, I was praying the word, and I was reminded of that scripture, "In this life ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And that was part of my prayer time because, you know, we all have our personal trials and trials of faith and things that we're going through and different testings. And so I asked the Lord to give me a word for that day. And the Lord took me to Mark chapter 6, verse 50. And I came down on "It is I." And it's "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And I had just been praying that in this life ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so I spent some time, you know, reading about that and thinking about that. And I was quite encouraged. I felt like that was a word for me. And I noticed that when Jesus got in the boat with them, that the wind ceased. And I was thinking, wow, Jesus, you know, I need to be more cognizant of that. I need to, in my, you know, during the day, all through the day, to remember, you know, you're in the boat with me. And that's what I want. And then the very next day, I asked the Lord at the end of my prayer time to give me a word. And he took me to Matthew. I think he took me to verse 29. But verse 27 says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." So I felt like that was a confirmation of something that the Lord was really wanting to impress upon my heart. And I hope it might minister to someone else here as well, that, you know, we read about these things, they happened 2,000 years ago, but, you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He sees us toiling. He's there for us. He comes to us. And, you know, he wants us to be aware. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. So I just know that encouraged me and ministered to me a lot. I hope it might minister to somebody else as well. As Willie said, it's the gospel.
Did you give a chapter of Matthew or just the verses?
No, the verses. It was it's chapter 14.
Okay.
And verse 27.
Okay. Amen. Okay. Praise God. Go ahead, Missy. I think you were before Judy. Judy, you was fast, but I think Missy a little faster.
You know, it's like I was looking there, the very last verse of that section, actually, if you go 51 and 52, "And he went up unto them in the boat, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves, for they understood not concerning the loaves, but their heart was hardened." And I'm like thinking, you know, what's the loaves got to do with this? And the best thing, the only thing I can think of, it's because over in chapter 8 it talks, you know, it talks about, you know, after the feeding of the 4,000 then, and verse 14, "And they forgot to take bread, and they had not in the boat with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned with one another, saying, we have no bread. And Jesus, perceiving it, said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Do ye not yet perceive, neither understand? Have ye your heart hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember when I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of the broken pieces took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets of broken pieces took ye up? And they say unto him, 7. And he said unto them, do ye not yet understand? And it's like they're, you know, it keeps saying about that their heart was hardened. In other words, they weren't believing. It makes me think of an evil heart of unbelief, you know. And it's like they were so amazed, you know. It's like they're, it's almost like they don't realize that they, who he really is yet, that he is I am, like he said, you know, I am, you know, he is God, he's the Son of God. And it's like, you know, it's like he's saying, there's nothing too hard for me. Don't be amazed at the things that I'm doing, because I am the I am, you know. And yeah, he's saying, if I can turn, you know, these loaves and fish into be multiplied like that and feed 5,000, can't I walk on the water? Can't I come to you, you know, on the water? Can't I see you and know where you are? You know, what I was thinking too was, you know, he was on the mountain praying, and it doesn't say this, but my thought is in his prayer time, he saw and he knew that they were in distress, you know, not with their physical, his physical eyes, but spiritually he knew by the Spirit. And you know, he came to them. How would he know, you know, with it being the time of day and everything that it was, you know? I believe he saw it by the Spirit, and you know, he came to them. They were sore amazed, because they're like, even though they didn't say it, well, how did you know we were out here, you know? But anyway, but it's like,
amen. So. Okay, Judy, or was it Judy? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at that, and then I was thinking what happened to me. Along came this wind, and I looked out there, you know, I could have been really afraid, and the Lord kind of put peace in me, and he said, don't be afraid. And walk by your faith, not by sight. And he just put peace and calm in me. Yeah. So it just made me think, ooh, what happened to me? That's cool.
Yeah, that was neat.
That's all.
Amen. So Jesus came out there and walked on the water and gave you peace, huh? Praise God. Now, Sharon, let me get you, and then I'll get you in just a minute, Barry. Go ahead, Sharon. You got to unmute yourself.
Did you mean Diane?
No, I meant Sharon.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, first I want to say I miss you all. God bless you all. And I loved everything you were reading. And I just, for some reason, turned to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I was reading from 3 all the way down through 6. And where it says, endeavoring to keep the unity, the Spirit, and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we were called in one huge hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that's, and I think it was Marilyn that was speaking, that we have to really think about all day long things that we're going through, that Jesus is right here with me. Because sometimes I forget about that, and I have to pray and pray and pray to remember that. And I ask, let me feel your embrace. Let me feel your comfort. Let me feel your peace. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And then finally, within 10, 15 minutes after prayer, I am filled with peace and calmness. But the other thing, I came on earlier and I heard people, someone praying for someone with cancer. And if everybody can please say, keep me in your prayers, because they found a lump on my other breast and I see my breast surgeon April 8th and she's going to go in there and take a biopsy to see if it's breast cancer or not. But I know I am healed by the stripes on Jesus's back. I have been down on my knees praying to him and I have faith and I know it's going to be negative. But I just wanted to say, you know, everybody just keep me in your prayers for that.
Okay, we will. Hey, Sharon, have you read The Real Good News?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so.
You might ought to download it off the internet, off the site. It's in audio or it's in PDF form. That is an awesome, awesome book about faith.
Okay, you said it's...
The Real Good News.
The Real Good News.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, we'll be praying for you, sister.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Marilyn, go ahead. I'll get back to you, Malcolm.
Henry. It was me.
Barry, I'm sorry.
About the seeing.
I know the difference.
Yeah. About the seeing, you know, was he on the mountain? Was he on land? You know, where was he? How did he see? It was at the night. Well, I thought about when he met Nathaniel. I saw you under the fig tree. He wasn't there. Saw him under the fig tree. He was somewhere else. They had to bring him to Jesus. So I think that might help us understand how he could see and how that worked.
I wonder if he sees it in a dream, in a vision, or God, you know, does that stuff go through your mind at times?
I think it was in real time.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so he's got reality TV right there. That's awesome. Well, I believe it.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I've got to get my gloves off, and I'm out here picking up pine cones, believe it or not. I don't know why this time of year we have those pine cones just are falling off the trees everywhere. They're all over the driveway. And anyway, but what I was going to say was that it's interesting that the miracles, it seems to me anyway, just an observation, I might be wrong, but it seems like the disciples saw more heavy duty miracles than the regular people that follow Jesus saw, like the transfiguration, the situation out there on the sea, and a lot of this really pretty serious stuff, and walking on water. I mean, most, you know, he didn't go out to the boat much, and while Jesus was talking, and invite different people to come out. You know, hey, you want to walk on water? Hey, you want to try? Hey, you there. You know, so anyway.
Amen. Okay. Let's see. Go ahead, Wayne.
I just wanted to say Diane's been raising her hand quite a bit.
Has she?
Yeah, you've been missing her every time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Thank you, Wayne. Go ahead, Diane. I pick you, Diane.
I'm just enjoying everybody sharing. As everybody was sharing, I just kept thinking about the Samaritan woman at the well. How Jesus, he had to pass that way, he said. He had to pass that way because he saw someone that was really thirsty. She had had what all she thought she really wanted in the world, and it just didn't that didn't satisfy her. And now he would have passed by these ones. He would have passed them by, but he couldn't. He's so loving and so merciful. And it just encourages me that while we're struggling against the contrary winds and all these other things coming against us all the time, he is aware of it. He is aware of it and he cares. And when the time is right, he comes to us and he ministers to us. So I was just encouraged. And especially with Willie sharing, I never saw the gospel presented in such a way as it is right here in these verses. So I just praise the Lord for all the light that all of you saints have and share. And I thank you for it.
Yeah, amen. It's a lot of knowledgeable Christians here. Praise God. I'm talking about good Christian. Okay. Pat, go ahead. I'll get you now. I'll get you in a minute, Joe, and then I'll get you, Sue. I'm having trouble keeping up with everybody. Pat, I'm not hearing you. I'm still not hearing you.
How about now?
Okay.
Well, I was going to say I'll let Joe go. So I haven't heard from him for a while.
Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, everybody. I was just looking at the same thing as the boat. It's depending on self. You're in a comfort zone. You're on a sea that's in the world. And but the stress is your struggles in the world. You see you can't get it by yourself. And the wind is a spirit convicting you. And then the fourth watch is the start of creation. God created Jesus for us to save the world. And then you walk on the sea. It's you have overcome the world. And it's passing by. If you need me, I'm there as a savior of the world. And then I cried out, we need you, Lord. That's all I can see. It's awesome verses. Thank you.
I was muted. I was talking. Y'all couldn't hear me, could you? Go ahead, Pat.
No, we couldn't. I just wanted to share something real quick. This whole thing, it was the overall of what I was seeing there is that in that verse, by the way, thanks, Missy, that was a good verse, is the disciples were completely and continually being amazed in the authority that the Lord was constantly displaying in their midst. And something happened to me here a week or so ago, and I just wanted to share. Basically what it was I had been, he seems to be hitting this theme of authority with me. And I had a situation at work where I was, one of the crews that I have working for me were very, you could tell there was just a spirit of opposition. It seemed to be in every one of the members of that crew. So I started praying. Of course, I kind of have gotten in the habit of blessing the crews before I go to work in the morning. Well, I had blessed this particular crew, and then the foreman. I blessed the foreman, but for some reason it wasn't taking. And so that was a bit of a question in my mind. So there was a reason that we, I was in communication with one of the foremen were in the field, and we were talking to his office, and they had me on the speaker we had this guy on the project manager on the speakerphone, and of course the foreman was talking to his project manager, and I was listening on the speaker, and he mentioned something about, well, Pat needs to have this such and such done or whatever, and the guy, of course, he blurted out a profanity, tell him to get his act together, so to speak, or whatever, in a little bit more colorful language. But instead of getting angry, I realized, and it hit me at that time, there's not just a spirit, there's not a spirit of opposition in these people alone, it's in the whole company. And there has got to be something done in the larger, there's an environment there that these people in this on the cruise are reacting to and responding to and living in the midst of. And so that day, no, it was that night, I prayed specifically for God to bound that spirit of rebellion, faction, anger, whatever it was, it kind of went through the litany there, in the ownership of that company, and bound that, and in the name of Jesus. And then I prayed that God would bless them, and that they would scatter that angry environment. And believe it or not, the next morning, the project manager came from his office over to the field, to the building in there, and when he walked up to me, I could tell there was a total different countenance in his demeanor. He was responsive. I won't say submissive, but it was very, I don't know what you'd say, just responsive to me and speaking, and very, cordial and everything like that. Amiable, that's a good one. Which was it shook me for a minute, because it happened so quick, and it shook me. But it brought back to my understanding that there is an authority structure here in the world, in the earth, and I guess the short lesson is, if you're not having any success on one particular level, take it up a notch to the next level and attack it from that avenue. But this whole message tonight has kind of reinforced that fact that Jesus has come and has given us, God has given us authority to deal with these environments and deal with these situations. So I just praise the Lord. It was kind of an eye opener for me again. I shouldn't be amazed, but it was. Amen.
But amen. I want to just tell you one thing about corporations. Some corporations, they have they teach that if you create competitiveness in your company, you'll get more out of your people, which is wrong, but that's what they teach anyway. But anyway, go ahead, Sue.
Okay, I'd like to share a song, if that's okay.
Real quick. We're past time.
Is it okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it was 2015 when this came to me. I woke up with this song, and it was for a brother that was in distress. He was going through some things. And so anyway, oh, be of good cheer, the Lord is near. He'll never leave nor forsake us. He's here at our side. In him we have to abide. His image, he's there to make us. His blessings will come as we make him our home and live by his spirit each day. To follow his lead is all that we need, to give him our lives day by day. So follow his heart, he'll make us a part of his kingdom of heaven and earth. Just stay close to him, abide in him, and
He'll be with us forever. Sorry. His blessings will come as we make them our home and live by His Spirit each day. To follow His lead is all that we need to give Him our lives day by day. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I like that. That's good. Thank you so much.
I guess it's to accept the whole thing.
Okay. Well, all right, folks, we're running out of time here. Missy, I want to thank you for bringing that up to us. That was a good verse to look at and dissect, and it really turned into a good discussion. And thank everybody, Willie and Pat and Andrew and all everybody, Barry and everybody, Joe and everybody. Lord, I just thank you for a good night tonight. Everybody go sleep good. And Father, I know there's exciting times ahead. And I'm thanking you, Lord, that we're going to find out something here in the next day or so. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everybody. Love y'all.